Blog Talk Radio.
You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Oh, she got the swag, so she drippin' swag goo. You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Oh, she got the swag, so she drippin' swag goo. Oh.
I may be young, but I'm ready to give you all my love. I told my girl you can get it. Don't slow it down, just let it go. Go with love, I'm giving all away. Just don't tell nobody tomorrow.
Howard, who's actually from Texas, where I live, from Sugar Land. So
go ahead and get started. We're not going to delay anymore, and we're just going to go ahead and open up the line for my first guest, Ms. Sybilla Nash. Ms. Nash, if you can hear me, say hello and welcome onto the show.
Hi, and thank you so much for having me.
Hi, gorgeous.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
Oh, wonderful, I can't complain. Happy to be here.
Well, welcome onto the show. I will tell my listeners, I did a little investigating, I guess, or I looked up Ms. Nash, and she is gorgeous. Y'all, she has a beautiful picture on Amazon. I was like, whoa, she is too pretty for me.
So
I do want to compliment you. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Before we get started, I do want to let the listeners know that Ms. Nash is actually an author of three published titles. We have her first title, Dream City, and our second title is Lady Modeling and Beyond. I think it's From the Stroller to the Red Carpet. And tonight she's going to discuss with us her most recent novel called Bumped. So, without further ado, go ahead, Ms. Nash. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Do you have children? Just a little personal information about yourself.
Sure. Well, I am from New Jersey. I've been living in California for so long that I consider myself an honorary Los Angelino. I have a soon-to-be 10-year-old daughter, and she was, in fact, the inspiration for writing the nonfiction book Baby Modeling and Beyond, because she started baby modeling when she was 5 months old and been doing it ever since. So I wrote a guide to help other parents, and I'm actually updating it this year because I wrote it about 5 years ago, and I want to update it, and there's tons of new information and just different ways of submitting your kids and things like that. And I love to write. I have a degree in journalism from USC, and I've done freelance writing, and I've written bios for artists, so I've always tried to hone my craft and keep applying it.
Right. So tell us your journey as an author. Where did that begin? What made you sit down and decide that you want to actually move over from being a freelance writer to a novelist?
To be quite honest, it was one of those things where you're looking at, well, what do I want to major in? And I wasn't sure what I would be able to do with a creative writing degree. So I was like, I'll major in journalism because that way I can always, you know, get work somewhere. But I've always written short stories and poems ever since I was a little kid because I was an avid reader. And I think, you know, when you love to read, you start thinking, oh, well, I can write a story like that, or I wish the characters would do something like that. So my love of writing really came from reading and just loving the way the author could pull you into the story and wanting to create my own characters and my own stories. And so when it came time to really pick out a vocation, I was like, okay, well, I really want to be a novelist, a screenwriter, but plan B, fall back on it, I'll major in journalism. So that way I'll, you know, won't be caught out there in the cold.
Right. So once you actually sat down and completed your novel, what avenue did you take to put your books in print? Did you go through a major publishing house? Was it print on demand, or did you just decide to self-publish?
Well, I'm going to take you back about, a long time ago. Back in the 90s, I had a guide out called Black Filmmakers. It was like a Black Filmmakers guidebook. I worked at this organization, a wonderful organization in Northern California, the Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame. And, you know, working in the office, it was just such a community. And I noticed that there was an absence of like a focal point for authors to, or filmmakers rather, to find out information. So I worked with a coworker of mine and we put together this guidebook that had film festivals, grants, and things like that. So that was actually my first venture into publishing. And because it was such a specialized focus, I was like, I already know who my audience is going to be. So I did a direct mailing piece and sent out, you know, like a little advertisement, and people bought it. So that was my first entree into publishing. And then for Dream City, again, I took the route of self-publishing it. And this is back in 2000 when Dream City came out. So I wrote the book. I printed up hard copies, and e-books weren't really around. So, you know, that was my only option, was to print up copies of the book and to put it out there. And the same with Baby Modeling Beyond. Now, for my latest book, Bump, which just came out in August, I knew that I wanted to have both a hard copy, as a paperback book, as well as an ebook. And so with Dream City, after it came out, I got an agent, had some other work that we'd sent out, but it was never picked up by a major house. Although, you know, with that, it's like, oh, came really close, but it was never just right. So, you know, I went ahead and put out Baby Modeling Beyond and Bump as well. So that was my long journey through the decades.
So with that experience under your belt, what would be your advice to up-and-coming authors who are looking or thinking about publishing their work? What advice would you give them to maybe assist them in not making maybe the same mistakes? What advice would you give them?
I'd say it's so different now. The landscape is totally different than when I first started. There's so much information that there's really no excuse for anyone not to really know or to be able to access information, because a lot of it's out there. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's out there. So I would say for any aspiring artists or people who are already have a book finished and are wondering what to do with it, research. The internet is your friend. Google, use it. You know, there's a ton of different blogs about self-publishing, about finding an agent. There are conferences. So I would say if this is something that they really want to do, it is time intensive, and depending on which way you do it, it could be, you know, a financial investment. So put the proper time into it in terms of doing your research and reaching out to people and asking questions. There is no reason for you to be taken advantage of, because the information is out there. You just have to look for it.
A lot of certain authors, they will ask you question after question after question after question. It's like, I can't publish a book for you. You know, it's like I can only answer so many questions. Some things you really have to dig down and research on your own, because a lot of up-and-coming authors do, they're thinking like, okay, you have a few books out, you publish and you're established, but I have a publisher. I'm not self-published, so you're right. Sometimes you have to take time and do some research on your own, because people really cannot hold your hand in this business. You have to know what you're doing for yourself. So that's a great point. But in the you
it's a business. So you bring up a great point that it is a business, and they have to treat it as such.
Right, you're right. So let's move on to your current novel, Bumped. What inspired that story and that title?
Bumped was a story that was gestating for a while. It's like I've been working on this book for a really long time, and it was one of those things where you just, I love current events, the news, and just reading all types of pop culture stories. And, you know, there's like this trend where you have these women who are high profile and their men will cheat and they have to stand beside them and, you know, say they understand or they go along with it, you know, politicians and wives and such like that. So with Bump, I knew I wanted to do the story of betrayal. And I pretty much had the characters. I knew what I wanted the characters be, and like over the course of like 5 or 6 years, you know, their names have changed, but the focal point was on betrayal. And how well do you really know someone, especially when you're in a relationship? You think it's all great and it's wonderful, but how well do you really know that person? And when something happens, what do you do? How do you bounce back? How do you keep yourself intact? So I really wanted to focus on that theme. And so that's how my characters kind of evolved from that. I mean, Diego was consistent from the beginning. And I think we all know Diego, maybe not to the extent of his misdeeds, but we all know that one guy that's kind of shady or he cheats or whatever. And it's just, it's one of those things that I want to create characters that people could relate to.
Right. So in between the pages of Bump, tell us a little bit about the story and the plot of the book. You don't have to give away any spoilers or anything, but take us between the pages and give us a little inside track on Bump.
Sure. Bump is the story of Elle. She's a music publicist, and she's living the high life in L.A., where she gets into all the hot parties, and she's repping some of the strongest bands that's out there. So she's, you know, flying across the country, going, you know, internationally with her clients, and she has this boyfriend. He's a financier, and everything seems great. You know, they're in love. He makes her happy. She makes him happy. And it all kind of comes to a screeching halt and she discovers that she's pregnant and he's nowhere to be found. So it's really about her journey, about how to, you know, pick up the pieces once your life has been decimated. And that's what happens to her. And she's still in love with this guy, but she still has to work through her feelings, deal with the pregnancy, and really just get her life back on track.
Oh, okay. All right. So with this book, like, what type of feedback have you been getting on the book? And I always ask my authors, so don't think I'm just picking on you, Sabella. I always ask my authors to give us the positive and the negative, because we do sometimes get negative reviews, although we hate them. I know I do. We still have people out there with their opinions. So with this story, what type of feedback have you been getting on the positive side and on the negative side?
It's been interesting. On the positive side, people like the character of Elle. They like the story and the twists and turns. And I read like a really negative review where they're like, oh, this is not romance. It's just fiction. But the book has never been billed as romance. So that was kind of, you know, I appreciate criticism because I think you can learn and grow from it, especially if it's, you know, if it's helpful. You know, there's criticism that can be helpful, and then there's criticism that can come from left field. So that one, you know, it was one of those things like, okay, well, I never said it was romance. I've never listed it as, you know, romance in any of the tag words. So that's the negative side of that, is that everybody has an opinion and not everybody's going to like what you do. So it's one of those things, either you like Elle or you hate Elle, because Elle's the character, she can be kind of whiny, she's self-centered. So, you know, some people don't necessarily gravitate towards her. And that's great, because I wanted to make a character that you can love or hate, but you're going to remember her.
Right, correct. And you're so right, because we can't please everybody. When we sit down to write these books, these are just stories driven from the information that our characters feed us through our creativity. And people might not get it. You know, you might have that one or two readers out there that cannot relate with the character or don't understand the character, so therefore they're not going to enjoy the read. But when we, like you say, we can't please everybody. We only get a couple here and there, but we have to move on. So, but with the positive publicity, what are some of the great things you've been saying about your book and your main character, Elle?
The great things that people have been saying is that they love the story, that it really kept them engrossed, that it was a page turner, that they liked the twists and turns, and that it wasn't predictable. So that it's always great and flattering to hear as a writer, because you know you're working in a cave basically, so you don't really get any feedback until you work with your editor, of course. But when you put it out there to the masses, and then you want to see the people get what I was trying to do. And so it's always great to hear that they enjoyed the story, that the pacing was good, and that, you know, it wasn't predictable. So those have been some pretty great things that I've heard that I really appreciated hearing.
You know, I wanted to comment also on what you said about when you're working with your editor. I have had a couple people, you know, during the show, I want to give out not only information about the authors that we showcase, because we want you to support them and go out and get their books. But we also want to give you information if you're trying to write a book, or if you want to write a book, or if you, you know, because you have people out there who really want to write a book. Because I remember how it used to be for me before I was actually in print, how that desire that I wanted to publish really bad. My advice to even seasoned authors, a group of people. Even like one book club. I work with one book club out of Memphis. Before I release the book, I let them review the book, and I get all of their feedback, because they're a group of different women. They all have their opinions. So before I put my work out there, and this is just some advice to authors out there, get one group or even five or six proofers that you trust their opinions, and let them sample the book. So that gives you a little bit more insight of what people may hate when it comes out, or people might love when it comes out. That way you won't be so surprised when you get your review.
Oh, exactly. And really to work with, I worked with a great editor out of New York called Monica Harris to really help with the story, because, you know, when it's in your head, it all makes sense to you, because, you know, the character's inside and out. But when it's on paper, you want to make sure that it flows, that there are no unanswered questions, that the motivation is great, and that the pacing is, like, you know, moving along. So it was really great. It's always good to have someone there, a professional, to look over your work and to show you where, you know, the slow parts are and things like that.
Right. Now, I know you said that you're in the process of redoing your prior book, Baby Modeling and Beyond. But what else is coming up for you? Do you have any? Are you working on anything new? I know you just recently released this novel, but is there anything in the making?
I do. I'm actually, because Dream City is 12 years old, basically, I'm revising it and putting it back out, and I have two sequels, one for Bumped as well as one for Dream City. So it's going to be a pretty busy year, just trying to pace myself for it.
Right. Okay. Well, that, and pardon me, not my bad. I said the second book, but you're actually working on your first book. You're redoing that one. Do you have any upcoming events or any upcoming that you want to share with our listeners?
Sure. You know, I'm going to be appearing on Suze Orman's show, which is on the OWN Network. You know, Suze Orman, the financial guru. I made the very costly mistake of co-signing for a friend, and I'm on the show getting advice from Suze. And let me tell you, she was not happy with me. But that's going to air on February 8th on OWN. And, you know, I don't know what channel it is in your area, but just check out your local listings.
Oh, that is awesome. Now, did she allow you to plug your book? Please tell me she did.
No. You know, I was wishing. I was like, oh, maybe I could. But no. It was like there was no additional plugging, you know, just advice, really, to get out of that situation. But, yeah, I was hoping I'd be able to wear a T-shirt with a book cover on it or something, but no such luck.
Yeah, they would have to give me another shirt because I would have walked in the studio with my book on my shirt. I was that's what I would have done. So I understand. So what can besides Amazon, what other outlets are your books available for those who are listening who are maybe business and maybe getting a signed copy? Where can we get your book?
Sure, it's available on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and iTunes. And if you go to your local bookstore, they can order it because it's carried with Baker and Taylor, the distributor. And you can also go to my site, which is my name, SybillaNash.com, and I have you can order it from me directly from there. Or the URL for the book is BumpedTheNovel.com, and you can PayPal me the money, and I'll send you an autographed copy.
Wow, that is awesome. Oh, that is awesome. We do appreciate you coming on, hanging out with us, Sybilla, and telling us about your most recent work, Bumped. And as always with AAMBC, we are always open for you to come back. So if you release your sequel, or even when you want to come back and hang with us for panel discussions, we do those, and we're going to start those, I believe, next month on every third Tuesday of the month, the last Tuesday of the month. So check the listings for that. But we wish you all the success in the world. And I definitely will be tuning in on February 8th. For Susan's show to check you out. This woman is gorgeous. I know you're going to get some male fans after they check you out on TV. There's a lot of guys really got the book. But we do appreciate you coming on to the show, hanging out with us. And whenever you want to come back, just make sure you hit us up by email. We'll be glad to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for having me. And definitely keep me in mind for panels. I'd love to participate.
All right. Is there anything, any last words, or anything you want to add before we go? You go.
I heard a great quote this morning, and it said that, you know, today is the day that you should start living the life you have imagined. So I'd say, what's stopping you? Go for it.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Sybilla. You have a great evening, and we're going to go ahead and move on to our second guest. Our second guest is actually from Texas, Sugarland, Texas. I don't know if he's from there, but I'm assuming he's from there. I don't know. We're going to meet him in a second just to see. We're going to be joined by Mr. J. Elliott Howard. And Mr. Howard, if you're on the line and you can hear me, say hello and how are you?
Hello. How are you all doing today?
Great. We're great. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
I love a good looking individual. I always go be checking out my guests to see. It's like you put a face with a name, it makes it a little bit more easier to chat and talk with them. So I checked Miss Elliot out too, and thumbs up, ladies. I don't know if he's single, but we'll let's tell you in a second. So tell us a little bit about yourself. We do know you from Texas, but tell us a little bit more. Give us a little insight on who Mr. Howard is.
Okay, well, my name is Elliot Howard. I am originally from Ohio. Yes, I am originally from Ohio, the Buckeye State. It's cold up there. And when I left Ohio and came down to Texas, I did not look back. Trust me. Something about
wow.
The heat. I'd rather deal with the heat than the blizzards, babe. Let's not get it twisted, okay? Excuse me?
I totally agree. I'm from Chicago, so I understand.
Exactly. Okay. The winters are nothing nice. The lake effect snow is nothing to laugh about. It's good for pictures, not good to live in.
Right. Cool.
So hey, this is my second tour of duty in the Houston Sugar Land area. First came down in '93. Left in '98. To go to Pittsburgh, and then went back to Bowling Green, Ohio, and then came back. And then I've been here for about seven, eight years, something like that. I lost track. But it's been fun. It's been fun. I've been writing.
We want to know everything about you on this show, so you got to tell us. I mean, are you married, single, have children? You know, we need to know more.
Okay, inquiring minds want to know. Okay, no, I am single. I am single. I have a wonderful...
Ladies, him on Facebook, ladies. He's good looking.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm a single father, and I love being a dad. I have a wonderful boy who definitely lights up my life and keeps me active and running. I think all panty pants listening can relate to that. I've been writing since I was 16, and in fact, is when I first came down to Houston in '93 is when I started writing. So we're coming upon 18 years. It was an outlet because when I came from Ohio and came to Houston, I'm not a man that has a problem with talking. So ladies, if you want to, being a communicator is easy for me. The problem is the fact that I didn't know anybody, so. So writing just became an outlet for me to get my thoughts, and over time it just took a life of its own.
Right. So tell us now, when you first decided to sit down and I believe you have a poetry book. I want to make sure, can we confirm it's a poetry or a novel?
Okay, it's a book of poetry. Rewritten Lines is a poetry book, but it's not an anthology. Okay, it's more like in the lines of And for those of you that know Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, I've always been a fan of that. And so the way the book is designed, the poems can stand out individually, but if you read the book from beginning to end, there is an implied story of transition that we go through in life. The chapters, the chapters bring it down to different, separate the poems to like different topic lines. And then we carry on all the way up to the end. We get in the process. Anything we go through in life, as we go through life, there's a process of okay, I'm going to let go. How do we let go? And then there's a period of testing that we go through with that, and then we come out of the testing, and then we have to become more focused. We find what we're passionate about, and in the end, the trial ends because everything does come to pass. And so that's the implied storyline that takes you throughout the entire book. I've had the book been reviewed about 24 times. It's gotten about a 4.6 out of 5-star rating on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and this is been carrying pretty good weight to it. So that's what I like about the book. I mean, with the fact that if you want to just read a poem to feel good, you can do that. But if you want to have a good storyline, a little bit subtle that you can possibly put yourself into it, as opposed to being told who and what the characters are, I mean, the book can take you there, too.
All right. So let me ask, how much or what percentage of your book, poetry personal experience. How much of it would you put, if you want to put it on a percent scale, how much of it would be?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The interesting thing about the book is that the book did not start out as a it's not autobiographical, to tell you that much. I mean, because when I started writing, I was a storyteller, and that's how I like my poems are. I'm not really I can do love poems, and there's some love poems in the book, but it's like more just telling tales, and so it's fictional. But oddly enough, as after the book was released, some things in my life started taking on the aspects of the book. I'm like, okay, normally you go through it and then you write it. Not you write it and then you go through it. But that's exactly what happened with me. So, I like writing stories and telling tales and stuff like that, because that's kind of the family background I have. I had this wonderful grandmother who, she was known for telling stories and telling tales, and my dad took up from there, and my aunts and uncles, you know, on my dad's side, there's always a big storytelling type of family, so that's kind of like where I took off from there. That was my influence, with regard to that.
So when you decided to put your book in print, what avenue did you take? You know, a lot of questions that you ask will be duplicate questions, because we want to hear the same information from you as well. So don't think I'm a boring host, but this is how it goes. How did you actually put your book in print when you decided to publish?
I went the self-publishing route, because my thing is, because it's my first book that came out, and you're looking at I'm out putting my name, as so people are like, I haven't done the spoken word circuit yet, and I'm still getting acclimated to what that's all about. And so it's getting my name and reputation outside. That's the reason why I went that way, so that way I could have more control over the marketing and promotion of the book.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with the avenue you took. It's we just want our listeners to know there's many avenues that people can take, because a lot of writers or a lot of aspiring writers, they sit around and wait on this. They have this fantasy of having this big old huge book deal and selling a billion copies, and it just doesn't work like that for some of us, not all the time. So to let them know, like you said, your reasons for deciding to do self-publishing route, you want to have more control. As you said, you want to put a stretch for your first book, and this is the way you want to get your name out there. So we never object to which route you take. It's all positive as long as you're out there.
Right, exactly.
Right. So now going through these, some of the actual titles of some of your works, sticking out, When the Smoke Clears. And I don't know, I know a lot of people write poetry, but they're not necessarily recite it. But if you can tell me a little bit about that particular piece, and if you have it available, did you want to share it?
Sure.
Because it's different when it's poetry versus a novel. Poetry has a little bit more of a little opportunity, because poems are short, and they're usually short in the excerpt. So usually people get to recite a poem on the show versus to read an excerpt. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that particular piece? And if you want to recite it first, it's up to you. But we want to know about that one, because that's the one that's sticking out for me.
When the Smoke Clears. Okay, let me read it first, and then I'll talk about it.
Okay,
here we go. I hate this. This war that torments my soul has lasted long enough. My enemies have conspired against me for attack. My last hurrah has been cast, and all the players have bet against me. I can hear the casting of lots down the hall. They laugh. They laugh. Tears have come down my face long enough. This face has many scars from the falls, but I'm righteous. I will see God's glory while I live. Down I lay. The false sovereignty kicks the stout-hearted and pokes with spears, promoting the death of challengers to their ice thrones. One ball of heat shot to the core ignites this soul, which has the right to rule and reign. The real priests and kings come in the light for the apocalyptic battle that awaits. Those who conspire in darkness wait for their time to come, never knowing that the time has already come, and the oil isn't ready. Their flame is snuffed out. Attempts are made to cover my face so you can't see, But if you've heard my voice and know my words, when my call is sent, you'll know. Yes, you'll know. All climb for what they think is rightfully theirs. Hypocrites living in tradition yearn to destroy what they do not know. Smell the air, fear is afraid, because its rain is in my, because its rain in my life is over. And the chains are breaking as the knowledge of who I am feeds my soul. I have entered into the rest of rulers because obedience has been seen, and the persecutors are becoming the persecuted, the hunters the hunted. I had fear, but now I'm fearless. I was weak, but now I'm strong. I'm no longer blinded to the right. I have sighted the wrong. It is time for war. Zion has a trumpet, and it is sounded from the mountains. Those who have conspired in the night with the snares awake, and there they find themselves when the morning dawn flares. Eye to eye, the history is passed to the generations. The last will be first. Evil laughs of victory prematurely. However, the victory is mine. The righteous may fall in the test, yet ever better they arise, all the more wise, and are always standing when the smoke clears.
Okay. Now, that's, see, I was like, God, please don't let him be deep. But that's a bit deep, so you got to break that down for me.
Okay, there comes a point in time in life that we all face it in one way or another. And the poems in the chapter called Tears of the Darkness, that's a series, that's a period of poems that have to do with testing. And it comes a point in time where you've been pushed and you've pushed and pushed, either been in relationships or in a bad job situation, or if you're in a neighborhood that's bad. It comes a point where, like, you know, you're going to have to stand up for yourself. And you come to that realization that, okay, this person that has their foot on your neck, or the situation that has its foot on your neck, is really weaker than you. And you can actually, you have control. You have your own control. And it comes with the realization that, okay, I can stand up and I can fight. I can fight for me. I can fight for my family. I can fight for what I believe in. And I can achieve my goals. I don't have to lay down here. Who told me I have to lay down here? And why did I believe that lie? And when you stop believing that lie, and you have your own backbone that builds up, and you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go through this, and you're not going to stop me. Okay, I mean, you had the enemies attack you. People have told you what you can and cannot do. I didn't tell you that you couldn't do that. Like, I didn't say that you didn't have the ability. And at some point, you got to get to a point where you're no longer believing the lies that people have told you about you, and you see yourself as God sees you. And so, okay, it's one thing to say that you go to church and you read the, you know, scriptures, and you have the pastor talking about you're more than a conqueror, but when at some point you got to believe it. And then when you do, that's a completely different person. You got if for nothing else, when you look in the mirror, you'll be the most attractive you have ever seen.
Right. Your mindset would be different. Yeah.
Exactly. And so when the smoke clears, you're the one that's left standing. Everything that's come against you, that's trying to hold you down, take you out. I mean, we all have had, you know, if you live long enough, and I've been around a lot of people that told me this, so you live long enough, everyone's going to have a story where something was said, come against you, or has come against you, that was meant to take you out, and it didn't. You had your faith, you stood tall, and you made it. And that was your defining moment.
So what inspires the majority of the poems? I know they're life situations, but what sparks inspiration for you? Like, what does it take?
I mean, what inspires me is not just life situations, not just life in general. I grew up with a heavy relationship with the church and with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I grew up with that in mind. And so a lot of the, and then also hearing stories of triumph. I have an uncle, his name is Robert Howard. He worked with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and fought for civil rights, and he told me the stories, you know, stories that really aren't covered even in the news, and that had to deal with, you know, triumph and what people were dealing with. And so from hearing all these things, it was like, okay, there's stuff to talk about, you know. Life, I put in a press release once that life is more than just love poems. There's a lot of things about life that you can write about, but so I just get excited about living in the beauty that is all about us. Not looking at life with rose-colored glasses, but if you go, if you you go through something, you're standing tall, you got, you know, a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you know, that's something great to write about. Let's hear about it. Let's talk about it. I mean,
right,
you know, because...
Right. So with this first release, what type of feedback have you been getting from a negative side and from a positive side? What have the readers been saying about this poetry book?
Well, I mean, it's got a 4.6 out of 5-star rating. It's got read 24 times. The people that have been liked the flow. I've liked being able that there's a realism that comes with the poetry that you can dial into it. It's not something that's like way over your head, and yet on the flip side, it's not a simple roses are red and violets are blue. The negative that I have received was the simple fact of that the younger readers, that's if you were like from 16 to 21, there was one lady in particular that was that had a hard time connected to it because she admitted she didn't have enough life experience to really just be able to relate to the poem. Some of the poems that are in the book, she liked it, but then again, she really couldn't dial into it. So,
I can understand it because usually at that early age too, they haven't really been through anything, so they don't know. I guess the testimonial message that the book could be delivered, because if they've never been through anything yet, they're not thinking from a person who may say, okay, Elliot, this book really helped me. I went through a similar situation, or this my friend went through a similar situation. So someone at that age haven't really been through anything, so I have no idea what the true message of the work is. So they probably wouldn't have anything positive to say. So I understand that.
Yeah, you know, and so like, you know, some people, I mean, you know, but you know, people have been liking it, and some things aren't for everybody, and I understand that. I'm cool with that.
Do you see yourself actually moving over to novellas or full length novels? Do you see yourself writing something else besides the poetry, or I'm not gonna say poetry, inspirational messages? Do you see yourself writing something other than that?
Yes, I do. I do, actually. I feel myself venturing into that. I've been, you know, experimenting with some tones, and so it was because not every poem I have, maybe even some of the poems that I've written, the stuff that I have coming down the pike, is just purely inspirational. But even the poems that are inside the book, not all of them are. But I do see myself going into that arena, writing novels. And writing stories and stuff like that. I do see myself going in that direction.
Okay. So when you do you you mentioned some of the authors that you actually enjoy earlier in the show. What other books do you actually read for your personal reading? Like, what other genres do you enjoy?
Well, I like I like T.D. Jakes' writing. I like the book that he came out with, the two books he came out with, Reposition Yourself and Before You Do. I also have liked, I like reading sci-fi just because it's creative and it gets my mind going. Anything sci-fi I can get my hands on. I like reading that. But, you know, between T.D. Jakes and sci-fi is where, you know, normally you find me in that. And then just, you know, some poetry anthologies every once in a while.
Okay. All right. Now, see, I'm trying to get into sci-fi. I really am. Because I've always been a romance fan. That's like a rival. I'm really serious. I mean, like a romance addict, I can say. That's what made me start writing romance. But the more I interview more authors I have coming on the show with so many different creative niches, it's making me want to get into reading other genres, you know, step out that box and see what these other authors have to offer. Because I did interview the month of December, I believe. I interviewed one one African-American author who was a sci-fi writer, and it was really, really surprising to me. And right now, honestly, I can't even think of his name, but just to him speak about his inspiration and things like that for sci-fi made me like, okay, I need to start stepping out the box. That's what that's the reason why I asked. So do you have any upcoming events, or are you going to have any signings soon, or will you be anywhere in the near future? Will you we want to share so maybe people can come out and meet and greet you or get a book? Do you have any upcoming events?
Oh, yeah, I do. Actually, right now I'm in the talk. I'm in talks with Fountain of Praise Church here in Houston, Texas. Been doing a book signing, and probably either in probably in February. So you know, some point in February or early March, and doing a you know, for the bookstore, and so that's what I have coming up in the immediate right now, and so it'll be a book signing, book sale there with them. And so then from that, you know, I also have a virtual book tour that I got going on right now, working with Delphine Publications, who was a close relative of AAMBC, and that's actually out online right now. And so then in the meantime, what I do is any other events that I have coming up, I'll always keep my my Facebook site up to date, so you know, people can come by and visit me on Facebook, just type in Elliot Howard, or you know, type in Rewritten, because that's my Facebook page for my book, and that's where all the up-to-date information as well as new work that I have coming down the pike comes out to.
That's my next question. What's next for you? What are you working on now? Two questions for you. But you can go ahead and answer that one, because this is the question I really honestly did not ask Sibylla, and I should have, but what's next for you? What are you working on now? And then I have another question for you.
Okay, well, right now I'm working on the next book in the series. So the Rewritten Lives is actually part of a three-part series, and I'm finishing up the next book, which is called Earnest Thoughts of a Rewritten Life, and that's some good stuff in there. And I'm going to be, so that one's next, and then following after that will be another book called Days of Revelation, and that will, you know, sum up the three-part series for that in a group of poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is the question I should have asked Sibylla also. I mean, I don't know how you answer, because since you're kind of new to the scene, usually when somebody has been out on both sides, they have a more deeper answer. But I'm going to ask anyway. How do you feel about selling visual books versus selling in brick or mortar stores? How do you feel like about these e-books versus our traditional paperback? What is the, I guess what I want to say is, what is your take on that? Because the reason why I'm asking is a lot of authors, especially older authors, are not too happy with the e-books and things like that, because we tend to miss, you know, it's like you're moving further and further away from your fans, because you're not doing too many signs anymore because people don't want a hard copy. So what do you feel about e-books versus paperback?
Well, I don't think one is more important than the other. I think they're equally important. Because in some cases, you know, some people might not have access to a bookstore, a special physical bookstore, but they can get your book online, or get a Kindle or something like that, or something that they can read your book, and you know, I just, you know, like people to be involved with what I write and give me feedback. So whether or not it is, if you're buying a book, hard copy book, and you're seeing, and I'm meeting with you in a bookstore, or if you get an e-copy and then you converse with me online, it's the nature of as we evolve through communication now, through so many different avenues. I think that as an author, you can control that distance by making yourself accessible. Like, you know, there's social media now. Okay, so if your book is bought socially via ebook, then make yourself accessible via Twitter and Facebook or MySpace or something like that where people want to ask you a question, they can ask you directly.
Right.
And
right.
and have that dialogue. I mean, I take responsibility with that. People want to talk to me, they can just talk to me and ask me questions anytime they want to.
Yeah, you're right, and I agree. The people, Arthur and Louise, because I do have some of my my customers or my fans or readers that strictly love the book. They don't care. A couple of my relatives, they like, I ain't fooling no candle, I ain't fooling with no nook. Just go ahead and send me out the book, you know. So I have some people that really, really just like having books that have shelves and shelves of books. But then I have some people like, you know what, I'm trying to downsize. I'm trying to get rid of all of them books. I have a Kindle now. But I feel like this is the changing of times. We went from Betamax to VHS to Laserdisc to DVDs, you know, just like from 8-track to cassette to now, you know, to CDs. So it's just the changing of times that people have to get with it. Nothing stays the same. And as long as you're reading my book, I don't care how you're reading it. I don't care if you're reading it and paperback, on the Nook, on the Kindle, on Smashwords. I just want readers to be reading my book. So it really doesn't matter anymore to me how they're getting the information or reading my work. I just want them to read my work.
Yeah, I agree, because you consider, like, you know, the history of literature. I mean, people, you know, authors use it simply just write a story and submit it in parts to newspapers. If people would read the story, follow the storyline in the newspaper, like, before they even went to doing just regular books. So, I mean, it's all a progression. You know,
right.
I agree with you. You just got to be flexible.
Right, right. Well, give us your contact information. Where could listeners know to go to contact you, email you? Do you have a website? Give us your Facebook, Twitter, how they can follow you and contact you.
Okay. All right. Well, first off, you can visit me on Facebook by typing in Elliot Howard. That's my main Facebook page, or you can type in Rewritten for my book, Rewritten Lives. My book has its own Facebook page as well for the fans. You can contact me with either one. Email me on that. I can contact you. You can also reach me through my website, www.rewrittenlives.com. That's, you know, where that's the website for the book. It also has excerpts on that website, as well as, and it's like with Facebook, you can also read excerpts of new work or current work that I have. It's on both of those sites. You can also reach me when you want to talk to me directly. You can reach me at J. Elliot Howard. That's JELLIOTHOWARD at yahoo.com. And then finally, you know, to access my book, even you can make purchases via on hardback, paperback, or ebook via rewrittenlives.com, the website. Or you can go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Wow. Well, we certainly thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight, Mr. Howard. And we wish you all the success in the world. And we do invite you to come back anytime you have something new or you want to hang out with us. You still can always call in the line and still come on. We have other guests, and we will be doing a panel discussion soon. Panel discussion more so just authors get together and publishers, and we talk about the do's and don'ts in the other industry, and we answer questions for call-ins and things like that. So you are just welcome to join us. Always good for my listening. And when you want to come back, hit us up by email, and we'll be happy to have you back.
I would love to be back. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a real treasure.
Thank you so much. Well, you enjoy your evening, and take care.
Thanks, you. You take care, too. Bye.
But we were just joined by two fabulous authors. One newbie, Mr. Howard, just recently released his novel, Rewritten. We also had Ms. Sybilla Nash on the show. She's the author of Dream City, Baby Modeling, and Beyond, and her latest project is called Bumped. From Ms. Nash, you can actually contact her on Facebook at facebook.com/ Sybilla Nash, Sybilla.Nash. And the word is for our first name is Sybilla.Nash. You can also go to her website and check out her current novel and order your copies at www.bumpedthenovel.com. And you can also take a, my book's available on Amazon and the store you go into. You can actually order if you do prefer the paperback. But if you want to order online and get your personalized copy, just go to her website and request the book from there. And then we'll also join again by Mr. J. Elliott Howard. Mr. J. Elliott Howard is the author of Rewritten, and if you want to contact him, of course, he's also available on Facebook, or you can actually contact him at his website also at www.rewrittenlive.com. That's rewrittenlive.com. You can also email him at j.elliott7268@yahoo.com. You can also look for him on Facebook as well. We're going to be moving over to our second hour in a bit, where we're going to be joined by Mr. R.J. Champ and Ewan Williams. We're going to take a brief break, and hopefully they'll be on the line soon, and we'll get started. But we're just going to step away for a 4 minute, and we're going to give you a little sound to listen to while we're waiting on them to come back. This is like one of my favorite songs. I'm definitely going to play that. I am a Joe fan, and this is like one of my favorite tracks by him. So I'm going to leave with this for a moment, and hopefully we'll be back in a couple moments. we are back, and thank you guys for hanging in there with us. We're going to start the second half of our show. We'll be joined this hour by Mr. RJ Champ and Ewan Williams. RJ Champ is going to be with us first in a moment to talk about his new novel, A Beautiful Satan. I've got a cover. The cover's kind of hot, so I'm really interested in seeing what this book is about and learn a little bit more about Mr. RJ Champ. RJ, if you're on the line, you can hear me, say hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine this evening. I'm doing good.
All righty. And before we get started, RJ, I really want to check and make sure I have Ewan on the line also. Ewan, are you there? Is Ewan on the line, Erico 301? Okay. Or maybe he's not on the line with us yet. So we're going to go ahead and get started and give him a chance to call in. And but since you're here, we're going to go ahead and get started and tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. RJ. A little background history, you know, where you from, are you married, single, have kids? Just a little personal insight about you.
Well, I'm from Washington, D.C., and I'm divorced now, no kids. I guess I've been signed with Book Beaver since like 07. And so, I've been on this trek to write, novels for, I've been writing novels pretty much since like junior high school. So, and that's pretty much the gist of what's going on with me right now.
Okay. So let's go over to your writing journey. When did you decide to sit down and say, I want to write a novel, or you want to go ahead and complete a novel? What inspired you to sit down and write a novel?
Well, I always enjoyed writing. Literature kind of was in my blood since a kid. But I got my feet wet some years back on some work I did, but I never did nothing with it. But then about 6-7 years ago, I had a conversation with my mother, and she was telling me, you're smart, why don't you sit down? You probably could write a book, write a bestseller or something. I said, you know what? And I'm going to go ahead and try that. And I just sat down and went on a journey where I just started writing. And I picked up the pen, and I never stopped until, I was signed with a book label. And it's kind of like, kind of say the rest is history.
Oh, okay. So when you decided to sit down and write this novel, what inspired this title? Where did this title come from? Because this is kind of a deep title. Where did that come from?
So the title, it's an oxymoron, Beautiful Satan. And when I set out to write this book, I kind of was on this little mission where I had this character in mind who had a dual personality. And like the character Angel / Natasha, she has a dual personality. So the Angel is the beautiful part of it, and Natasha is the Satan. And she's pretty much going to bat for like women, married women, women with their men. She got a thing against women who mess with women's men. So her whole premise is, to do away with the women who kind of loose and out there mess with other women's men. So she's on a rampage. And so I kind of delve back into some experiences and some life experiences and mishaps. And I kind of pull from different people in my lives and different women that I knew. I kind of gelled them all together into this character because I know how women got a pet peeve against women who mess with, their men and whatnot. So I came from it was taken from a woman's perspective, but a woman that has a man and how she doesn't like another woman messing with a man or, coming into the picture. So it's from that. I wrote this book from that perspective, viewing it from a woman's perspective.
Let me tell you, RJ, don't none of us like that. I don't know no one out there who's going to say, okay, come on, mess with my man. Don't none of us like that. So you run the money. We don't like that. If what's man is man, leave alone, find your own man. So I do understand that. I definitely understand that.
Yeah, she's supposed to be like a dark heroine, you know. She's psychotic, but she's a dark heroine. She's kind of like picking up with, like, if she's doing the things that a woman would want to do or think about doing or fantasize about doing, a dark fantasy of hers. And so she's actually doing the deeds that women might want to do.
So tell us, when you decide to actually publish your book, I know you're under DC Diva Publications, and that's like a great route to go. I'm not knocking that at all. I mean, you're in a good place. But were you thinking about self-publishing, or how did you want to actually publish your book? Were you looking at a traditional publisher, or you always knew that you wanted to self-publish? How did you go about publishing, and when you decide to publish?
Well, my first objective was to get signed by a label, you know. And so when I went down this road, my whole objective was to get picked up by a label, somebody who could give me some exposure, some national exposure immediately. And, you know, because, I mean, I'm new to this, so, of course, I needed, you know, that push to get into the industry or whatnot, you know, introduced me to the industry and let me know, you know, the ropes was going on. And so, you know, that was my whole objective coming in. So
when this was actually released in, let's see, September of last year, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So what type of feedback have you been getting on the novel so far? What's the negative feedback you've been getting, and also the positive feedback you've been getting?
Okay. Well, the negatives, mostly everybody was like, they thought the book it ended too soon. So from the negative, they said the book ended too soon, so that was really the negative that I got from the book. Where everybody like from the part, they was like, they feeling the character, they like all the twists and turns. It was like it's something new. They was like, you know, I came with a new vision into the industry with this character, this Natasha character. So, you know, I'm trying to do a lot with this Natasha character because the women kind of feeling it, even the men giving me some good feedback from the character. So, you know, pretty much I've been getting some good feedback off of them.
We're going to need you to elaborate a little more on in between the pages of this book, A Beautiful Satan. Now, I know you gave us the gist of it and how you came up with the title, but take us briefly within the pages of this novel and tell us a little bit more about it. You don't have to give us any spoilers or anything, but tell us a little bit more about what goes on between the pages of this book with these characters.
Well, what's going on with the characters is, okay, married woman, she married to a player. He's a player. Hooked up with this player. He runs the streets. And so off the top is trouble already on the horizon. And so but she kinda mentally unstable herself because she coming out of a relationship with a man who was promiscuous already, and she just jumped right back into another relationship with a man who's even more promiscuous. And so, something goes down where she messed with some medication that she's getting from work, and so she has a psychological mishap, and so she goes on this tangent when she starts finding out that her husband is messing around with all these women, and so her alter ego springs into the picture, and she's kind of like stalking. She's stalking these women that her husband is going around having these tricks with, and so, you know, it progresses on, and it just gets deeper and deeper, and her kind of getting deeper and going further with every deed that she does. And it's so, it's, I mean, it's a progressive story because it goes, this really is a series. So it's going on and on for a minute.
So you mean to tell me, instead of her taking it out on her husband, the person that she should have been getting on, she actually going out of these women that he's messing with?
She kind of, the courage of kind of is torturing him in the long run too. He's catching the brunt of it also. So, but the women, they catching the full brunt of it right now. And so, but as the story progresses on, you kind of see what's going on with the wife and the husband. It's a lot going on with that story.
It sounds interesting. I'm like adding it to my Kindle as we speak, because I have to go on my to-read list. I'm looking at the cover. The cover is hot, you guys, and I am checking out some of RJ's reviews, and it's been plenty of good reviews on here, so y'all definitely need to go to Amazon right now and start downloading to your Kindle, or y'all need to order, because this book was like it's definitely a page-turner. So tell me what else are you working on now? I know you just released this book in September, but are you working on any new projects? Will this book turn into a sequel? What are you doing now?
Okay, well, A Beautiful Satan, yeah, part two is already done. The sequel is already done, Natasha's Wrath, and that has a release date for just somewhere around in the springtime, around April, May sometime. And also, I got a short story getting released soon, coming soon, called A Beautiful Nightmare. That's another thriller. And that's coming soon. That's already done. And then I got some more work, like, on the backside. I got another novel called The Beautiful Gangsters. That's coming. And, I mean, I got so many. I done wrote a number of novels, so they just waiting to get released one at a time, pretty much.
So are you thinking for your genre of writing, because you were saying thriller, are you sticking to one genre, or do you have a couple different genres under your belt?
Well, I'm a suspense thriller. I kind of get my flow in that suspense thriller mode. So that's pretty much what I'm, action, thriller, suspense, psychos, thriller, suspense, you know. Kind of all along that genre is where all my work is kind of situated right now, and that's where I'm feeling my best. That's where I'm feeling at my best when I'm in that mode. So yeah, thrillers and suspense.
So that's the only genre that you want to write, or do you think in the future you'll tap out to something else?
I mean, I always leave the doors open. Anything's possible, right? But all the work that I have, like, on deck and this schedule for release, they all under suspense thrillers right now as we speak. So, but I never close the door. So I always, you know, if something else, you know, comes to mind and, you know, I'm spawning something in, it ignites my creativity to go off into another direction and test the waters there. I mean, yeah, anything's possible.
So, if you had to give advice to an aspiring author that want to publish or want to get a book in print, what advice would you give them? Because I know you took the route that you took, but what advice would you give them?
Well, the advice I would give them, I would say, do your research. You have to do your research and know, you know, what's going on in the industry. You have to know the publisher you're dealing with, you know if they're reputable, know if their work reputable. You just don't want to give your work to anybody, and you want to check their track record. So you want to know, you know the industry standards. You got to do your homework. I say anybody who get into this field, do your research, do your homework, check out, you know, all the pros and the cons, and know the people you're dealing with, because, you know, everybody's not who they say they are. So, you know, you got to do your background checks and find out, you know, what kind of work do they actually put out.
So
and are they actually for their authors, and, you know, what kind of editing do they do? Because editing is a major part. You want to make sure that the editor that they working with are up to par. And so, you know, but the bottom line is you got to do your research when you come into this industry.
Right, definitely, definitely. And you mentioned another important point in that, too, saying that it is very important for editing. Editing is so important. You can have a great story, but it would be a kill if your editing is off, because people might have enjoyed that book, but some people put books down as poorly edited. So that's the main key. If you want to invest any of your money into, that's the main place you can invest your money is in editing, because that is very important, very crucial. That's a very good point there, RJ.
Yeah, thank you. And because that editor can change the whole flow of your story. If you might want your story to go one way, and just that editing can just change the whole flow of your story. So, yeah, they could definitely got to be on point.
Right. So do you have any upcoming events or any place you're going to be where we might want to come out and meet you or see you? Do you have anything coming up in the near future where you're going to be signing books?
Yes, my publisher's trying to. She's in charge of that. She's trying to set up some things for that, for some Books of Millions and some events, some book fairs coming up soon. So we're going to post that on the Facebook and Twitter, and you go to BC Book View, and she's handling all that.
Yeah, this year is the bomb, and I'm telling you, I love the East Coast. For those who are listening, if you're out in the East Coast area, in the D.C. area, look for D.C. Book Diva Books, because I have signed with them a couple times, and both times I signed with them, I sold out. Working with her and E1 is like, it was like an awesome experience, and she is on it. So I give her props on that. She's on it. And you signed a good home. I'm not going to I'm going to mention that, because being with her, she will get your book sold, and people are going to know who you are. So you made an excellent choice by signing with DC Book D, because she gets that hustle on. I have to say hats off to her for that.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. She on her job. She on her grind. Real heavy.
Yeah, that's a bad sister. Well, real quick, give us again your contact information where they can actually contact you. Do you have a website, personal email address, where the listeners can actually contact you?
Yes. Well, I'm on Facebook. You're on Facebook, RJ Champ on Facebook, and on Twitter, I'm on Author RJ Champ on Twitter. And I mean, you can email me at rjchamp@gmail.com. And then we just started a fan page, Natasha the Anti-Wife on Facebook, and Natasha Anti-Wife on Twitter. So look for them, and they doing a lot of things. They trying, there's some new stuff that's jumping off. So and at dcbookbeaver.com, you can always find out what's going on with me.
Well, we thank you so much, RJ, for hanging out with us and coming on and talking about your book. I just got your book, Civil Book, and I just got Elliot's book on my Kindle. So I have I have so many guests that come on the show, and I have so many books lined up to read, but I would definitely post a review when I'm done. It does sound like it's a change channel, so I do wish you the most success in this industry. It is tough, but you got to stick it out, and I do wish you the best.
Thank you, I'm keeping it to the ground, and I'm just doing my best to put my best work out there.
Okay, and before I do let you go, RJ, I have a area code 301. I just want to make sure you don't have a question for our guest before I move on to E1. Did you have a question, area code 301, or you just listening in?
Yes, I just like to say I'm listening in, and I have read the book, and it's off the hook. So please support this young new writer.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Benji is doing his thing.
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 Liz. Thank you, Reggie.
Sam, can you state your name and where you're calling from?
This is George. This is George and Valerie. We're calling to support Reggie. He's a beautiful person, beautiful writer. He's doing his thing. Support him, please. And we look forward to the sequel.
All right. Well, I'm glad I opened my mind before I let you go, RJ, because they did have some positive compliments to give you. So I'm glad they give them acknowledgement before I let you go.
Yeah, thank you for the support. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. I appreciate it all. I need love. I love it.
Okay, well, I have one more line. It's actually a private number. I'm not sure what area they're calling from. I just opened my other line. If you're on the line, if you're just listening in or you have a question, state your name where you're calling from. Okay. I'm sorry, don't say anything because I don't want to be on. But we thank you so much, RJ, and we will be checking out your work.
Okay, thank you, Tiana, and appreciate all the support.
All righty. And we are going to move on, and we're going to be joined now by Mr. Ewan Williams. And I've been excited about Ewan's interview because I have hung out with Ewan a couple of days when I had a signing with them. And Ewan is a seasoned author. He's not a newbie. He's a seasoned author. He has a few titles up under his belt, and he's also been nominated for literary awards for his work. He has Fastlane, Hellraiser, Honey, 1 and 2, The Call, Lords and Legends, and he has a new book coming out in March called Secrets Never Die. Now, I may even have missed a title or two, but we're going to go ahead and introduce Ewan so he can tell you in case I did miss something. Ewan, are you on the line? Can you hear me say hello?
Yeah, how you doing? I'm here.
Hey, what's going on, Ewan?
Hmm?
I said, what's going on?
Ain't too much, man. What's going on with you?
Nothing. Over in Texas, I wonder why it's cold when it should be warm.
That's what's a great show.
Yeah. So, Ewan, we just want to dive right into it, and because some may know you, some don't. As I said before, you are a seasoned author. You've been in the biz for a while, and you have a few novels under your belt with some great reviews. So tell us a little bit about your personal life first, and then we'll move on to your works, and then we'll move over to your current work.
You said tell you a little bit about what?
I'm sorry. Are you having a hard time hearing me?
Yeah, a little bit. But you said tell them about what?
A little bit about your personal life, like where you from and things like that.
Well, for me, you know what I mean? I'm Ewan Williams, Ewan like Deion Sanders, and I'm from Washington, D.C., you know what I mean? I got a checker background. My inspiration and my love for writing, you know, actually, man, came to me while serving time in prison, you know what I mean? Writing was therapeutic for me. It was a way out. It was a way for me to express myself and look at different things in life. Just so happened, you know, I became good at writing, or discovered that I was good at writing. I published my first book from prison, Fastlane. It was published under Fastlane Publications. After that, a good friend of mine by the name Jason Poole, Free Jason Poole All Day, he took one of my books to T-Styles. So T-Styles published Hellraiser Honeys 1 and 2. By that time, I was out of prison after 17 years. I started doing my own thing. I hooked up with DC Book Diva. Shout out to DC Book Diva. She published The Cross. That was my short story, and we put some things together to publish Lord and Legends. Lord and Legends was nominated as, like, one of the top 5 books of last year by somebody, and, you know, so forth and so on. You know what I mean? I've just been doing a lot of writing, but writing is actually, you know, is a small part of everything else that's going on. But writing novels is one thing. Then I also do journalism. I'm a staff writer for Don Diva Magazine. For those who don't know what Don Diva Magazine is, it's a street magazine out of New York. Then I also do freelance writing for other things and other places. So, you know what I mean? Writing is the cornerstone of everything that I do.
Wow. So go ahead and recite all of your titles again so that people can take notes real quick, because I think I missed a few, because you have more than just Fastlane and Hellraiser Honeys. What are some of your other...
You you mentioned all of them. I mean, there's other novels out that people have spoken about because people have read books that probably been submitted for publishing someplace or another. But my published books are Fastlane, Hellraiser Honeys 1 and 2, and I got a short story, The Cross, and then I had Lord and Legend. Lord and Legend is my, you know what I mean, hottest book is my present book.
Okay.
Secrets Never Die should be out, man, in a couple of months. And I got another book coming out right after that called Money Ain't Everything. So, you know, we real busy over here.
So tell us about, I want to hear about two books. I want to hear about the current book that's already out, The Lord and Legend. And then after that, we want to talk about your book that's coming out in March. Tell us what take us in between the pages of that book first.
Lord and Legends is actually a coming-of-age story. It's a story of some young black males that get caught up in the justice system in their teenage years. In prison, while in prison, they grow into men, different kind of men. So in the process of that, you know, it's not just a jail story. It's actually a story of what these men, these young men go through in this world, where it's though things are not always fair, things are not always the way in which you need them to be. And at the same time, it also goes into how the things that young black males do affect people far, far away from just their immediate self, such as the main character in Lord and Legends. His name is Ronald Mays, you know what I mean? All he ever had in his life, for real, was his sister and his mother and things like that. But nevertheless, you know, through the decisions that he made as a young man in his teenage year, they affected his sister, his mother, his family, so forth and so on, all the way down to his child. But at the same time, it just takes you through a journey of what people go through after they are already in the prison system, even if they stay in the prison system or not. And it also details and highlights the journeys and the struggles of manhood, you know, at least from my perspective, because I wrote it from my perspective, but I wrote it from a perspective of being vast, you know what I mean, not just criminal. You know, there's characters in this book that don't even really participate in crime. You know, it's still a hood novel, but it's more so a right down the street, what's going on in the real world type of novel.
Right. So what are some of the feedback have you been getting from this book, feedback in good and bad? What have people been saying about this novel?
I know, you know, I'm going to be a little difficult with that because I don't listen to the negative feedback anyway, so I don't get a whole lot of that. I don't really stop and listen to it. But as far as the good feedback with the novel is that everybody saying that they thought it would be just a prison book, and you really do have to read the book to decide if it's a prison book or not for yourself, because it is called Lorton Legends, and the name Lorton comes from a notorious prison from the D.C. Department of Corrections. But nevertheless, it takes people inside of things that they think they know about if they had somebody in their family that was in prison, or if they watch Oz or they watch some type of prison movie. But I don't know if people really understand the psychological effects that some of these things have on the individual, whether it's the individual serving the time in prison or the family members that's supporting the people that's in prison. But nevertheless, all the reviews and all the feedback that I've gotten was good. They was all, how would I want to say, it seemed like they were surprised that the book was what it turned out to be after they read it.
Right. And he's not lying, you guys. I'm on Amazon now, and he's sitting at 22 reviews, and they're solid fives. Solid fives. So this is a must-read. I just
and I didn't coerce none of those reviews.
I believe you. These are not, no. People don't, when you can hold reviews, they're not as long. People are really giving some feedback from the book. So, trust me, there's some great feedback on here. So, you guys definitely need to be downloading this now or going online to order in paperback. It is available. Now, coming up for you, you have a new book coming out in March, which March is right around the corner. So I definitely want to talk about that one and see what that book is about. And what inspired this Secrets Never Die title? Who came up with that title? That title is hot.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I actually came up with the title based upon, like, for this year, every book that I put out this year, and right now we had two. We might end up at three or more, but nevertheless, we had two. And the books that I'm putting out this year, from Secrets Never Die to Money and Everything, they are fictional novels, urban novels, based on some kind of true story. So, being as though we're talking about Secrets Never Die is actually a little bit of an embellished story of something that happened to a young lady that grew up with me. And her story was so moving and so powerful that I didn't feel as though I had to add the fast cars, the whole lot of money, you know what I mean, the trips across the world tour, that her story, in essence, just what happened to her and what she lived through was powerful enough to write a story where as though the storyline was only about her. So basically it's a story that's based on a true story of a young girl that actually, man, got herself involved in some things that were life-changing and fatal and threatening, and she lived through these things for a long time thinking that these things were true. So as things were revealed to her and she grew and she understood what was really happening in her life and what was happening in the real world, a secret that she discovered changed her life forever.
Wow. Now, I mean, like, where do you get these ideas from, Iwan? I mean, is it just some experience or something popping in your head? Where do you get your inspiration from?
Man, my inspiration comes from a lot of different places, like Fastlane, which is my first book, and I'm not going to take you through all of them, but Fastlane actually came from the way that I grew up, the things that we did, the way that we was living, the culture that we was exposed to and we bought into. I wrote a book about it. Of course, I embellished it, but people that really know me or people that have done any research on me, they can read the book and know what parts of the book is true. Nevertheless, the book is fiction. You know what I mean? It's a figment of my imagination. But everything that I use from, for an example, let's say, the main character in the book, Fastlane, his name is Man. But Man is actually a group of personas rolled up in one of people that I looked up to, people that was around me, and people who people that behaved a certain way when it came to street stuff. So my ideas overall could come from anywhere. Hellraiser Honeys actually came from reading the newspaper over and over and over again in like 2005 and 2006, and girl wolf gangs or girl crews were getting a whole lot of newspaper and media coverage because of the things that they was doing and the things that was making the news, so to speak. I wrote a book on it. And, you know, so forth and so on. Like, I get an idea from riding down the street. If I ride down the street, I pull up around my way, and I was like, hey, what's going on out here? People say, oh, this happened, that happened. And it was crazy. If it was crazy enough to make me stop and think, how could it ever happen? Somewhere in the back of my mind, it'd be a note for a plot. And I'll just revisit that note for a plot at some other time.
Right. Now, Iwan, we know that you write street lit, but does your book ultimately give a message on adults of life? We know that we deal with gangsters and things like that. Does your story ultimately give an what not to do?
At this point, I can say it without being phony or fraudulent. Yeah, when I write now, and I write from a perspective of giving you something entertaining to read, but also giving you something shocking. But, I mean, if I'm going to write it at this point from Lord and Legend, really not even from Lord and Legend, from the cross on up to everything that's after it, it is written with a sense of responsibility, a sense of, look, I'm writing, somebody's listening, and even though they're entertained by it, it still has to be a method to the madness. So at this point, yeah, it's always something to awaken, and there's always some type of story I'm trying to tell, some type of point I'm trying to prove. But in the beginning, I can't be honest and say that, yeah, that's what it was. In the beginning, I was just writing what I knew. And, of course, you know what I mean, I'm a guy that went to prison at 16. So a lot of my experiences in life come from running the streets or being in prison. So those earlier books that I wrote, whether they are published or unpublished, they were all just straight raw, what's happening in the underworld, what's happening in the streets. You take it or you leave it, you know what I mean? This guy right here, you know, he was born into poverty. He got into the drug game, and when he got into the drug game, all these different things happened to him, and it was unapologetic street writing, and that's how it was. But at this point in time, I'm a lot older, I'm a lot wiser, I'm a lot more fortunate than I was at those times, so my writing reflects such. So if we talk about Lord and Legends, or we talk about Money and Everything, or any other book that's coming after that, even with the things that happen in the book that appear to be straight street, straight ignorance, or straight unexplainable, is a reason to it. Even if it boils down to watch your friends, watch the people that you trust, you know what I mean? If you have to do anything in life, make sure that you plan. There's a number of morals and principles and things that go with the books now, and I add those things in the book to give substance to the book now.
So what would be your message for an up-and-coming writer who has this idea in their head that, okay, you write a book, now you're rich? Tell them the real on that. Tell them how much work. Because I'm telling you, listeners, this man works. When I say he works, he works. So what would be your message to them about thinking that this is such an easy thing to do?
I mean, to make it short, that, man, nothing that you do, unless you hit the lotto, nothing that you do is really, man, instant gratification when it comes to something that you have to work hard at. You know, writing a book, building a car, you know, landscaping a yard, it's going to take some time, some energy, and some thinking. So if we're talking about writing, as you asked me, that, you know what I mean, first and foremost, you know what I mean, you got to plan ahead. You got to deal with what you're dealing with immediately, which is writing the book. So write the book, write a good book, write what you know, follow your heart. After that, you know, do everything that you got to do. But once the book is here, that's only be the beginning of it, because you're going to have to make sure, whether you self-publish, whether you publish with a publisher, you're going to have to do your job to make the book move. And to make money, like my man used to always tell me when I was young, it takes money to make money. So once you got a book, you're still going to have to spend some money to ship the book. You're going to have to spend some money to get a good book cover if you go all the way back to that part of it. But everything is about grind. I mean, it's 24/7, all day, every day, man. I seen my mother work 16, 17 hours a day. She worked all those hours in order to provide the lifestyle that she wanted to provide for her children. So if you add that same ethic, that same mentality, man, to this book game, man, you're going to do it. But you got to keep doing it in order to get some money. I'm not even going to say you're going to get rich, because I'm saying the people that I know that's getting money, that's doing things that they're supposed to do within this publishing game, I don't consider them rich. Unless you, you know, unless you're talking about, you know, Random House or Simon & Schuster or some type of big corporation. But I'm saying the people that I personally know that are doing well, that are wealthy, I mean, I still don't even consider them rich. So I don't know what it's going to take for you to get rich with this. But if you keep doing this, you definitely will acquire some of the things that you want.
Wow. So do you have any signings coming up or any place that you want to be where people can come out and meet and greet you or anything coming up in the near future?
I mean, right this minute, I don't have a specific time and a place for a signing that's coming up. But if you really know me, you know what I mean, like you done hung out with me before. If you really know me, I'm always out and about signing. If you catch me at the gas station, I'm going to sell you my book and I'm going to sign you my book. But DC Book Diva Mobile Bookstand is all over Washington, D.C., you know what I mean? And I'm there all the time, every time. So, I'm there signing a book, signing my book, selling other books. But we're going to have signings coming up from, you know, from New York to the bottom of the coast, you know what I mean? All this shit, everywhere, you know, Harlem Book Fair, anywhere you name it, when they're coming up, we're going to be there. But right at this moment, I can't give you a specific time and a date for another book signing.
Oh, and that's fine. So that leads to my last and final question, your contact information, so we can follow you. So when you do post something to say where you're going to be and things like that, well, readers can contact you or email you, or do you have a website? Give us just a little contact information.
Oh, okay. Well, first and foremost, you can go to dcbookdiva.com. You can check out everything pertaining to Eon Williams. You can go to Facebook at Eon Williams, my whole name, my first name is spelled E-Y-O-N-E. So Eon Williams, and you'll find me on Facebook. You can check me out there. You can also follow me on Twitter at Eon, E-Y-O-N-E, the writer. And then, you know, everything else comes with that. You know, that's how you can stay abreast of whatever I'm doing.
All right. Well, I can wish you all the success in the world, but I know you're going to get it because, like I say, I'm the one hung out with him. This man is, I don't even want to call him a hustler. He worked. He puts in work, and he taught me a thing or two. So I do thank you for coming on the show and hanging out with us. And I just actually downloaded your most recent book, so as soon as I get to it, I'm going to read it and review it.
Okay.
I just wish you even more success and keep doing what you're doing, because you're not only impacting your life, you're impacting other readers out there, and you inspire other authors, because you do inspire me. So congratulations on your new release and the one that's coming up in March. And if you ever want to come back and hang out with us, you know you're always welcome. And I definitely will be seeing you this year, because I'm coming back to the East Coast. But other than that, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we close out?
I just want to say, man, thank you to you. You know, thank you for having me. Thank you for everybody, man, that read my book, that support me. You know what I mean? Shout out to my man, RJ Champ. Much love to DC Book Diva, man, and a big thank you to everybody that support us, man. You know, keep doing your thing.
All right, thank you so much, Yuan. You have a great night.
You too.
Wow, I had an awesome show tonight. I did have a two-hour show for the first time, and I really enjoyed myself. I got to hang out with three fabulous authors and get to know them and about their works. Just to do a quick recap for everyone, in our early hour, we did have Miss Sybilla Nash. She is the author of Dream City, Baby Modeling and Beyond, and Bumped. Her most recent novel is called Bumped. Her books are available on Amazon. They are on Kindle, if you have a Kindle. And you can also go into any bookstore and actually ask for a book and they're able to order it. It's not on the shelf. Show this young lady some love because it's not easy as it looks. And it's, it takes a lot of courage to even put your creativity in print. So when you have artists out here like myself trying to make a difference or trying to send out a message with their ideas, you have to respect that. So I do, I encourage you guys to go out and try our novels. And we also had Mr. J. Elliott Howard. He is the author of the poetry novel Rewritten. Check him out too, especially you poetry lovers. Give him some feedback. Let him know what you think by leaving a review on Amazon. I always stress to people to leave reviews because reviews help other readers to make a decision whether they want to try a new author or not. And J. Elliott Howard is actually a newcomer, so y'all definitely show him some love and support. Our second hour, we had R.J. Champ. He is the author of A Beautiful Satan, and that book does sound hot, you guys. It has a hot cover. I did make sure I purchased all my author's books tonight on my Kindle, and y'all know I'm a slow reader, and I write and I review books, so I don't get to them as fast, but eventually I'll get to them, and I definitely will do what I always tell you guys to do, that is leave a review. And we also had Mr. Ewan Williams. Again, I will say I have hung out with Ewan. This guy is awesome. He's hardworking, dedicated, and he's been in the biz for a while. He has a few novels under his belt. The first novel, Fast Lane, another novel, Hellraiser, Honey's Part 1 and 2, but his current release is Lord and Legend. So you guys go out and cop that, get that. Download it on your Kindle, your Nook, or whatever. And if you're in the D.C. area, of course, you can always run into Ewan at the D.C. Book Diva mobile bookstore. They're always on the street. Trust me, I think that when I worked with him last time, it was March. Cold as hell outside, but I still sold my books with the help of Ewan. So definitely check him out. And if you want to know more information about these authors, I won't go through again all their email addresses, but they are on Facebook. They do Twitter. And every time I send you, go to Amazon and click on their titles and their names. It'll give you directly to more information about them. Again, support our Black authors. Thank y'all so much for hanging out with us for another show. Just to let, again, now you want to come back. Fans and readers, now you want to come back part two. Keeping my fingers crossed. Hopefully it will be up tonight, but it has been uploaded to Kindle. It should be on Kindle by tomorrow, definitely by tomorrow, but hopefully tonight I'll see it pop up because it was loaded. So that will be out, and I encourage you guys to also give me your feedback. Let me know what you think about it. As always, I get a little nervous when I release a new book, so I'm nervous about this one, so I hope y'all love it and feel it just as much as y'all did part one, because I have a lot of love for Now You Want to Come Back part one, so I hope it'll be the same for this one. And also, I do want to remind you guys, I just released a novel last month called Who Do I Run To? That's also available on Amazon and on Kindle, so please do check it out. We want to thank Tamika Newhouse, as always. She is the CEO and founder of AANBC. Without her, there would be no us. We wouldn't be here tonight to actually promote our authors on this station. So thank you, Tamika, also. And check out Tamika Newhouse. She's an author also. We have a couple new authors under our belt. We have J.W. Smith. He has a new title out called No Love Lost. We have North Tipton. He's coming out with his new book soon. We have author Jamaica. And we also have a new author, and I can't remember her name because she's fairly new, but it'll be a while before her book comes out, but I will introduce you guys to her as well. You guys have a great and safe night. I will see you back here on the 31st, actually, and we'll have a couple artists on to introduce their work. Until then, everyone be safe. Thank y'all again for tuning in, and I will get with you guys on the 31st.
Go.